Hey, legend.
Mm.
Can you believe it's round 23 already?
No.
Round 23 was, 24, 25, 26. Even you can work out. There's only three rounds after that left.
No.
Or the regular season. No, you can't. That's true. I'll tell you what you can work out, though. The difference between $10,000 and $15,000. Quite considerable.
Yes.
It's $5,000, by the way.
Yes.
Get into round 23 this week with Sports Fantasy Pros 5-day Festival of Fantasy Footy. Now, you know what that is there.
It's Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
It's called alliteration. Mm. It means the repeated use of a consonant sound. Do you know what the repeated use of a vowel sound is? Like
$5,000.
Assonance is what it's called.
$5,000 difference.
Yeah. So 5-day festival of fantasy footy. $15,000 guaranteed prize pool. Can you believe that?
15 grand.
Sports Fantasy Pro are just going nuts. Go to sportsfantasypro.com now to win your share of the $15,000 cash.
How good would my Chimera look with 15 grand thrown at it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It could almost have a different car replace it. Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Sports Fantasy Pro. Your team, your game. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we reluctantly discuss the Ashes. There was also a rugby game in Sydney on the weekend. And the top five wheel gets spun around and again. Where will it land? Well, find out then. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, as some listeners have asked us to say. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can get us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. Myself at Late Mailman and with me at Former_Legend. This week's episode, of course, brought to you by Sports Fantasy Pro's 5-day Festival of Fantasy Footy. Far out. $15,000 guaranteed prize pool. Former legend, hello.
Fuck. Hello, how are you?
Well, you just took it to that level straight away.
First of all, how was the City to Surf?
City to Surf was radical. When I say City to Surf, it was more just my house to the surf.
Right.
I went for a surf.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now tell me, do you know, what's the record for City to Surf?
Let's say 35 minutes.
Have you ever done it?
No.
I did it once in 55.
1955?
No, $55 in a cab.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Have you heard about the round 22 rule?
Round 22 happened last week, therefore round 23 is this week. It's
good.
Pretty solid rule.
Good, between 21 and 23. Malcolm Knox from the Sydney Morning Herald wrote that the last six winners of the NRL
right.
have won in round 22.
Have won in round 22, so Manly going to win...
Para.
Para.
Good news, Para fans.
Please.
You're on your way.
The 1986 drought will not be ending this year. Sorry, guys. Wow, there you go. The last, how many?
Six the winners. The last six winners.
Of the premiership.
Have won
in round 22.
Now, that's a stat.
That's interesting.
Mm.
What about this one? I've got one for you.
Mm.
The last 22 premiers have a winning percentage over the last five rounds.
Ooh.
Is that just like... the sky is blue?
What
does that even mean? Clive? Clarification? David Middleton, can you hear me? No,
nothing.
All right, let's do the news. All right, the NRL results from round 22, the fateful round 22, it seems.
Yes.
The telling, like the fortune-telling round 22. The Bulldogs beat the Broncos 18-16, which means they could be the premiers. Could be. In a game tighter than former legend's wallet.
Oh, that's cruel. Why are you saying that? That's not even funny.
Justin Hodges retires, it just says. It almost makes it sound like it's off the back of the game. And fair enough, too, because he played pretty busted.
He did.
And when I say busted, I don't mean injured. I just mean like shit.
Yeah.
As a New South Welshman, I'm not too bothered about that.
I was going to say, big shame.
Massive shame. Not too concerned. Great player if he's playing for your team. But if not, just get out of my face, pretty much. I'm still disappointed in Ben Cray pushing him and then running away. It was his chance to win over the state, but instead he did the exact opposite. To be honest, he would have won over all, the other four states.
Needed a little bit of David Shillington about him, didn't he?
Yeah, but even Shillington went in half-cock, didn't he? You could tell when he did that last night. We'll get to that in a sec, but he didn't want to do what he was doing, and you could tell because he like sort of just pretended to pack in for a scrum and just, yeah.
Anyway.
The Seagulls absolutely smacked the Rabbitohs 28-8, and I'm pretty sure I suggested that. Again, that's two in a row.
You were on fire.
Absolutely. I went to that game on Friday night.
No photos.
Cracking atmosphere. No, it's very cold on the hill at Brookvale.
Catch up with Yvonne.
No, I saw her from a distance, but you know, you ruined it last time, so I didn't even bother this time.
How far was the distance? Within AVA distance?
Legal distance,
right,
yeah.
Good.
Jeff Tuvey is really screwing over the Manly board and Trent Barrett, isn't he?
It's good to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, he just doesn't give a shit.
Can I say that if you want to listen to a great interview, I don't know if it was on Saturday or Sunday, but Jeff Tuvey spoke to Triple M.
Yeah, it was Tony Squires was on, so it would have been Saturday.
And yeah. Very, very funny. He was quite good.
It was very enjoyable. He's very dry.
Yeah.
But for a very intense coach, he's got a pretty funny sort of form of self-deprecation going on, doesn't he? He doesn't really, you know... I've told you before, he walks across the Narrabeen Bridge. I see him there quite often. He lives around on the lake.
Mm.
And he walks across there like he doesn't have a care in the world.
Really?
On the morning of a game when, you know, most... of the intense coaches would probably be locked in a room, you know, with a abacus and, you know, trying to work out stats.
I spoke to someone during
Not
the week.
Jeff.
Now, I'll toss one up here. This guy said to me, don't be surprised, and here's another rumour that you can put to bed if you want, I don't mind. Tuvey will join the Bulldogs.
Nah.
He will go in as Hasler's understudy with a succession plan.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. But mark this spot, write down the time code of when you just heard that, and who knows, may happen.
Yeah.
Won't happen. Yeah. Dragons hose the PSJ Warriors. Of course, they are the post Sean Johnson Warriors, 36-0. Who saw that scoreline coming? I didn't realise St George had 36 points in them. Sorry, St George Illawarra. St George Illawarra. They are two teams. They're definitely not more Dragons than Steelers.
Dragons were strengthened by the injury to Benji Marshall.
Yes, evidently. Evidently.
Widdop played the house down.
He did, didn't he?
He was awesome.
I really like his goal-kicking style. That's a very odd thing to say, but I guess it's the Englishman in him. He cracks it like a soccer player, a football player would a spot kick or something like that.
You wouldn't want to be his dog.
No, absolutely not. Mm. The Sharks cracked down the Cowboys as well for the second time this year. 30-8. So I'm pretty sure that the Sharks are the only team to have beaten the Cowboys. I may be wrong. There might have been another aberration in there by the Cowboys, but of the very few losses this year, put it this way, the Sharks have been two of them.
Yeah. No seven tackle set of six. That was good. They can do it without it.
No four in hand of God. Admittedly, that was Manly. But yes, we are getting to the end of the season where the Cowboys... I wonder what screw-up plan they're formulating. You know, because they've got about a month now to go.
We should try and predict that.
Yeah.
What will screw them?
In fact, tweet us at FCTTB_podcast, at late mailman, at former_legend. Let us know...
We need a hashtag.
...how you think the Cowboys season will end, in what controversial fashion.
What about... Cowboys conspiracy.
Easy. Hashtag Cowboys conspiracy. Tweet us and include that hashtag.
Give us your most outlandish prediction.
I like that. Do we even need to talk about this game? Didn't watch it, but from all different reports from every angle of the globe, Eels beat Panthers 10-4, and it was apparently the worst
footy
ever.
It was a car crash, but usually can't look away from a car crash. This thing, you had to look away. It was a fantastic advertisement for AFL in Darwin.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it did a lot for soccer and rugby union Darwin at the same time as well.
Yeah, basketball, netball.
Fitting. And to think that they could have had that at Pepper or Parramatta Stadium and filled the joints.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Odd.
The Storm took a good part of, well, at least the first half, if not well into the second half, to click into gear and put the Titans to the sword, as they say.
Oh, I didn't see that game. I did listen to bits and pieces.
Mm.
Were they in trouble? It seemed like they were in a bit of drama.
Yeah, I flicked through it at sort of, you know, how you sometimes watch a game in 1.5 speed or 2 speed or whatever. I flicked through it today.
That's called ecstasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a glow stick and a whistle at the same time?
Definitely not. Yeah, the Storm, they've certainly got some... some form on the board. They just know how to shut out a game, you know, despite where it might be earlier in the match. They can end it and win it. The Roosters, they pretty much just, well, when they played real well, but they had some about a what 15-20 minute period towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
Where they just went, no, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done. Knights nearly made a game of it.
Well, they gave him a sniff.
Yeah. And he got to 32-22 at one point or something like
as,
that.
As I think it might have been Gordon Tallis said on the weekend that they play in patches.
Mm.
Now, if they'd have played a whole game, they would have beat the Roosters.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Knights.
I feel bad for Danny Badiris.
I just bloody love Danny Badiris. Mm. I just want him to just do whatever he wants and maybe like get some good coach to come in. He can just have his cushy little assistant coach role.
Yes.
And just hang out at the beach out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
West Tigers lost to the Raiders in the Jack Frost Cup last night down in the...
West Tigers beat the Raiders.
Well, what's Clive doing here? I mean, I just read whatever's on the auto cue.
Mm.
Why does it say Tigers lost to the Raiders?
I've got Tigers beat the Raiders in the Jack Frost Cup 20-18.
Well, why does mine say Tigers lost to the Raiders in the Jack Frost Cup?
Clive.
Did you write this before last night, Clive?
On the drink?
I didn't even realise, because I watched that game. I didn't even realise what I was reading then, you see. He could have written anything on here. And yeah, so it was 2018. I watched the game. Pat Richards scored. Teddy Tedesco ran 60 metres off.
There was 95 length of the field tries in that game.
There was. I really enjoyed what the Tigers did off that quick restart.
Yeah.
20-metre quick restart.
Yeah.
Why are more teams not trying to do that? Because all they're focused on doing is getting back there and taking the tackle as quickly as possible. But instead, if you didn't see the game, the Tigers, I can't remember who, the name, it might have been Kevin Nagama, but it was one of the quick blokes, ran to the 20-metre line, took the tap, made 5 or 10 metres, but then swung it wide.
Mm,
and
did it a couple of times too.
The Raiders were caught out.
Did it a couple of times.
Yeah. Good on Jason Taylor.
What about David Shillington?
Oh yes, yeah. So back to Shillington and
double bunger headbutt to Aaron Woods.
None of which really. Like if you're gonna do it, I guess the fact that he didn't go the whole hog is part of the reason why he's not facing any suspension.
Go, he had a crack.
The second one was certainly had more venom in it. Absolutely, yeah. But it still didn't land.
Let's be honest.
How can you not land when it's your head trying to hit another head?
Like, well, as someone said to me on
that's
Twitter...
That's kind of a side of a barn door kind of thing.
As someone said to me on Twitter...
With Aaron Woods.
If you're headbutting Aaron Woods...
You're not missing.
And not hitting him, give up headbutting.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong. Yeah, absolutely. If you can hit him with a fist, which is a lot smaller than your head and doesn't have eyes in it to see which direction it's going...
So you're comfortable with him not getting any suspension?
No, not necessarily. Not with the... when you look at the other charges across the round.
Yeah, I know apples and oranges and everything else, but Willie Mason gets 2 or 3 weeks for what he did.
Well, we were always told, and this is where it's getting so blurry. We were talking the other week about not bringing the result of the thing into it.
Mm.
But we've also been told that you should always be looking at the intent, because that's everyone's defense. There was no intent. Mm. There was no intent. There was clear intent last night.
I don't know anyone that's done a headbutt and not had intent.
Yeah. Despite the fact that it was very poorly executed, both of them, there was clear intent. And so why was that not added to it? I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. But then, I mean, it's not the first time we've seen a headbutt get off. Remember Jared Hayne gave Billy Slater a little nudge that day?
Which was right.
Well, it was more contact.
But it wasn't in the same league as this.
No, yeah. Last night was pretty heated.
The first one, he's launched himself from about 3 feet away to have a crack and missed. Yeah. And then the second
one was basically just like a person who's had a lobotomy who thinks it's a good idea to just put your head down and run at someone. Essentially what that first
Sheila looked at the clock, looked at the scoreboard and thought,
I'll get 10.
While we're here.
Mm.
While we're here. And you know what? Is this the makings of what happens when you ban punching?
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. Can I put it this way though? Like that's the first send off in 2 and a bit years.
Mm.
Is that the worst thing we've seen on a footy field in 2 and a bit years?
No.
Yeah, that's the ridiculous thing.
No.
Who was it? It was at Maxwell last night, wasn't it?
Yes.
Jared Maxwell.
And Perinara. Henry Perinara.
Yeah, I just wonder do they want to make a stand? Because, make it...
Well, deliberate headbutt means automatic. And they've decided that it wasn't a deliberate headbutt.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was.
Mm.
I'm just thinking in relation to other things that have happened in the past.
Mm.
However long. Anyway, consistency, guys, lacking. on to the unsavoury topic we don't really want to talk about. Australia pipped at the post by England in what can only be described as an edge of your seat nail biter in that fourth Ashes test.
Oh, you know what? I missed the first three overs.
I really don't.
Huh. And I turned the TV on. They were 4 for 19, Hoodie. 4 for 19.
I was busy between 8 and 9 o'clock, but the TV was on.
Yeah.
And what I was doing, I can't go into too much detail. It's top secret.
Here we go.
But I had to be completely silent.
You porn?
I had to be completely silent. And it was, I was just watching wicket after wicket tumble, tumble, tumble. And it was just, it was the most crushing thing.
I know.
To the point where I don't really even want to talk about this disgraceful first session, like where Australia was rolled in 16 overs. All sorts of undesirable records were attained by Australia.
I think innings. The most telling was the whole Australian innings could be put in one tweet.
Yeah, that's exceptional.
That hurts.
Yeah, you think about it, 6 times 16, that's less than 100 balls.
Yeah.
Plus, and like, let's say, plus a few extras, which, by the way, was the high score of 14.
Can you imagine my despair? 4 for 19. I had a look about 7 times and went, bullshit. And then I thought, oh, right, who's in? Voges.
Yeah.
And Clark.
You're always, like, yeah, you're always looking for that little bit of hope.
Smith, please be Smith. Please be Smith. Please be Smith.
I was clinging to the hope of... you remember that match where Michael Bevan hit the 4 off the last ball for Roger Harper to win it? I was at that game many years ago. It was 20 years ago now. The thing that I was clinging to was to do with that game. Australia in that game was 6 for 38.
That's right, in all sorts.
They were, mark my words, 6 for 38 at one stage, chasing 178, I think the number was.
It was around
170-odd, 180-odd. They were 6 for 38. And so the whole time I was like, even if they're 6 for 38, we can, you know, maybe they can make 170. It is possible. It's been done before. Oh, my God. All done for 60.
And what breaks your heart too is how many of them were caught behind the wicket?
Yeah, I made a quick montage of them the other day, just for fun, just because that's what I do. Just the montage madness.
You got to get a job, man. This is starting to tell.
Yeah, it's true. And just clipping them all back to back, it looked like something out of stick cricket. You know where you always get done in the same way in stick cricket.
Oh.
Except no one fell on their stumps in this one.
Yes. But, yeah.
Yes, that common dismissal of falling on your stumps.
They're good for two a game.
Absolutely. Sorry, you won't hit a 6-6 ball, you'll fall on your stumps. terrible. So I guess the question is, who is to blame if we really need to play the blame game? Was it just a shit day out or a shit 3 days out?
Well, it's been a shit tour, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We're beaten easily in the first test.
Well, someone said after the third test, was the second test...
An obliteration.
Where Australia won, was it just an aberration? Was it just, was that the wrong one of, like, was that the one that wasn't supposed to happen rather than the two English victories?
You have to say yes.
In hindsight, yes. I mean, it's quite obvious.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, what do you think about a theory that the Wags on tour is someone to blame?
Look, Michael Clark came out yesterday and said his words exactly were, what a load of shit.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I disagree. I think there's something to be said for going away, staying in group, and being as a team for those 6 weeks or whatever you're away for.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I really, really think you've got to bunker down and...
Let's say there's 15 blokes on tour.
Yeah.
You more, add... More let's just say there's 20 blokes who could potentially have partners. Let's say that... 60% of them have partners and whatever that might come over. So let's just say 10 to 15 extra women added to the mix.
And Mitchell Johnson's mum should be there
somewhere. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's just you're adding elements. You're adding outside factors.
Yeah.
That at best are going to meld, at worst are going to implode.
Yeah. I mean, probably it's not going to be the defining
issue, but it can't help. If you're going out to bat, you're Mitchell Starc and you're walking out and you have to bat for 3 days to save a test match.
Mm.
And you've had a blue with Ian Healy's niece the night before.
Mm.
Who just happens to be his girlfriend, by the way. I'm not just randomly plucking out an ex-cricketer's niece's.
I'm doing a Craig Gower, Mitchell Pearce sister sort of thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it can't help matters. Whether it was the defining factor is another thing. Whether it even happened is another thing. But too many team changes, is that one?
I heard that was one tossed up from, might have been Haydos.
Yeah. He's spoken a lot lately, hasn't
he? He's clearly not a fan of Michael Clarke, which I think is quite interesting to watch.
Nor is John Buchanan, nor is Andrew Simons. Andrew Simons is an interesting one, though.
Who was your first one?
John Buchanan, former coach.
Nor is Kadich.
No, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Kadich one's probably, I don't know if a lot of people know exactly the reason behind the Andrew Simons one. I might just leave that to our listeners' imagination.
Story?
Well, it's
bordering on.
Kind of. Team disharmony, the inability to play swing bowling and not dig in. A few people have said this, and this is something I just thought of the other night. I was sitting there despairing at it was obviously before 10 o'clock on Thursday night because Australia were all out by then. Yeah. I was just sitting there thinking, how has not one test match this tour gone the distance?
Yes.
And how is this one clearly not? So out of four, how? And I thought about it and I was like, what's different? Batsmen are impatient. They don't have the patience and the grit to knuckle down and, you know, maybe only score 10 runs individually in a session.
Without pointing fingers, if we just take Warner as
his
an
dismissal
example of
that one.
Well, all of his dismissals.
Well, I mean, that stupid lap
he throws
shot
his
he does.
Bat at shit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the added shit gets wickets has never been more true than watching Warner bat this series.
Yeah. Fuck 2020. Stupid thing. I like the Big Bash, but only as
just something to tweet about over the summer.
Yeah, just as something to enjoy on the telly. Michael Clarke retires. How could we not have mentioned that bit? How will he be remembered? Where will he rank in the hierarchy of Australian cricket captains past?
It's going to be interesting to see how history judges him.
I heard Gavin Robertson, former test off spinner and New South Wales stalwart, last night say... And
you forgot also six and out member.
Oh, six and out drummer extraordinaire. you can get him on Twitter, actually. He's funny. Gav Robbo, 375. He was one of the ones who said 2020 is to blame.
Right.
But he also said that time will allow Clarke to be remembered as a great Australian captain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something that he would have said about past retiring Australian captains immediately as they retire.
Look,
he says he's very polarising, whether he believes it or not. The fact is that he has polarised people more than most other Australian captains.
But honestly, the things that you look on his downside are all off-field stuff.
Yeah.
But if you look on the on-field stuff... I mean, he came back from injury.
Yeah.
He won a World Cup from injury.
Yeah.
He's won an Ashes series at home. And, mate, without putting too fine of a point on it, what he did after Phil Hughes' death by bringing not only Australian cricket, probably cricket in the world together, was exemplary.
Yeah. He's definitely been a great statesman and diplomat for the game at times. And
Okay, I'm going to ask you, what do you think about him?
I don't know, to be honest.
You love cricket.
I do. At his best, one of the, you know, that year 2012, I think it was, where he hit like three or four double centuries in the year. Might have been more, correct me if I'm wrong, including that 300 against India, unbeaten at the SCG. That year was just sublime to watch.
Which is what Steve Smith just had, scarily.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that was still... I can't remember. Had Clarke taken over the captaincy at that point?
I don't think so.
Ponting was certainly still around. Whether he'd taken over the captaincy, I can't quite remember. But anyway, he'd gotten rid of Bingle. That was the main thing. What do I think of him? I don't know. I really can't tell you. I need to sort of go away and not be hit with 1,000 articles on a day to just formulate my own opinion.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's not been many days in recent times where there hasn't been something sort of thrown at you to, you know, maybe get you questioning your opinion a little bit.
Let me ask you one more thing before we move on. If he works for Channel 9 this summer...
When he does, let's face it.
And becomes a little bit annoying because I don't think he's going to give it to any of the current players. He's not.
No.
So he's going to be a bit of a sycophant kind of wishy-washy commentator.
Sycophant? Was that... Were the day toilet paper again?
Yeah. I always remember the things I've been called. So
yes.
I think that if he gets on Channel 9 and is a bit of a bore, like most of them are on there
yeah.
at the moment, that might actually do his reputation.
Legacy, yeah.
A bit of a injustice.
I think he needs
well.
To find, if and when he does become part of the Channel 9 team, and let's face it, that's where we're led to believe he will go. I think he needs to find almost a unique spot on that thing. Maybe a role where a commentator hasn't exactly sat before. I don't mean physically. I mean, and I can't think of what I'm sort of getting at. But, you know, maybe he's everything I'm thinking they do. Like they get out and they show skills during the cricket show. And they
maybe
do.
He just could concentrate on not being a dickhead. That would be a good start.
Yeah, good
compared
start.
To the rest of them.
Yeah, good start. Maybe he can bring back Tony's keys, get him jammed in that goddamn pitch. Let's move on. AFL results. Sydney beaten by Geelong at the Cattery, a.k.a. Simmons Stadium, by 5 goals, dropping the Swans from the all-important top 4 for the first time.
Trouble. Hey. Got the Staggers.
Yeah, you did suggest that. GWS Giants beat Wada's favourite team, Essendon, by 6 goals. Good win by them. Keep them in top 8 contention. I hope to God they make it.
For all our New South Wales, Queensland listeners, just yep. quickly... The Essendon thing is bubbling along nicely as far as WADA is concerned. Historic urine tests will definitely become Essendon's biggest thorn in their side.
Oh, spare me. Fair dinkum, spare me.
They're in trouble. There you go.
Oh, for God's sake. All right. And finally in the news this week, the Range Rovers Owners Club had their annual get-together at Homebush. They call it tailgating in America. They would definitely not call it that here in Australia. At Homebush on Saturday night. Then all 73,000 members of the Pop Collar Range Rovers Owners Club went into ANZ Stadium to see the Wallabies, who were actually magnificent. They
were good. Can I tell you?
They didn't score a try for like, I think it was maybe even the second half before they scored a try.
Yeah.
And then the score ended up being 27-19.
Yeah. And I don't know whether it was just luck. I watched just the second half. And because my other choice was Parramatta Penrith, I actually quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I guess so. Do you reckon there was anyone in that crowd besides Aristocrats, corporate bankers and stockbrokers?
Nah.
No.
Nah. Did you see them all? Patches
there
on might the have elbows?
There might have been their sons.
Yeah.
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 With their pop collars.
Dom Perignon and Quaaludes for everybody.
Substitute time. This is where we get a current sporting story. Leave a blank at the end of the sentence. Get creative. Get funny. Get goddamn hilarious to fill in that blank. First one this week. The current World Cup of Netball in Sydney is a great opportunity for blank. You?
A great opportunity for whistle makers in Australia.
Well,
don't they
yes.
love a whistle?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to mention that in mine. I said the current World Cup of Netball in Sydney is a great opportunity for advertising space.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because despite all its whistles,
yes.
despite all its yelling,
yes.
despite all the stoppages in play,
yes.
that game live just pulls the numbers.
The
NRL could learn something from them. I don't know what. Please don't be the extra whistles.
Yeah.
But
Maxwell's on
when
his way.
I say advertising space, you'd be a fool not to spend, let's face it, a relatively small amount compared to your mainstream, in quotations, sports in Australia.
Well, we all know the finals
if
going to
be
Australia
for,
New Zealand.
If you're paying for courtside advertising space in netball, mate, you're going to get your money's worth tenfold.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad.
Because that sport, you do it right and you will see great rewards.
It's probably a chance for...
And you can give me a commission if you want. Like,
it's probably
whatever.
A chance for Australian sports fans to get back on the horse after the Ashes.
They sold out a preliminary match the other day. Like, admittedly, Australia versus Silver Ferns, Diamonds versus Silver
that'll
Ferns.
Do it. That'll do it, yeah.
But just a preliminary match, sold it out, 15,000 people. Whatever. Don't even bother, rugby league. With friends like Glenn Stewart, Steve Mattai needs blank.
Steve Mattai needs a good doctor.
Yeah. Broken beak.
Yeah.
With friends like Glenn Stewart, Steve Mattai needs to face facts. He is a rugby league player. Because this is surely the only sport where you would get your nose broken.
By your mate.
By what looked like a pretty cheap, deliberate shot. And then give him a kiss in the tunnel afterwards.
There's nothing better than belting someone that you actually don't mind in a game of footy, let me tell you.
Yeah, but like actually
and then whispering
actually
in
crush their bones?
Yeah, that's where you go, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put a bloke to sleep once that I quite liked and that wasn't... Yeah. Wasn't the attention, but nonetheless, yeah.
Just sneak a little pash in the tunnel afterwards. Speaking of that game, the Rabbitohs' title defence is blank.
Shot, gone, defunct, kaput, over and dusted.
No, I had shot. That was mine, but I didn't add all those other adjectives.
You can join in.
Yeah, good.
No, they're in trouble.
They don't have the zing, do they? Is it just Sam Burgess and Ben Teo? Is that all it is?
I spoke to a friend close to them.
Is it Kurosomi Ovar? Is that who they're missing?
He seems to think that they're overtrained. He said, mate, they're a flat as attack.
Yeah.
I think it was Gordon Tallis.
Well, they hit the ground.
Someone said, give him a week off. Just say to him, don't come to training. Nothing.
Yeah.
He said, Wayne Bennett's done it once before and it worked.
Yeah.
But they, to me, on Friday night, they looked flat.
Well, they didn't really stop, did they? They won the grand final. They won the World Club Challenge. They won the nines. Mm. They just wanted to win everything. They won the first, what?
Charity Shield.
They won the first, like, four or five games of the season. Like, they just...
And don't forget, the World Club Challenge was a couple of games, wasn't it? No, it was just one, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was just one that meant anything, for and them, then the other ones just went over just for...
Glorified trials.
Why? Yeah. Up shit creek, Rabbitohs.
Mm.
Number four, Justin Hodges has announced his retirement. He will be remembered as blank.
As a good bloke to boo.
Yeah. Yeah, I had... He will be remembered as... This is something we nodded to before. He will be remembered as the guy who was at the other end of the Ben Cray push. And also the great niggler. Again, if he's on your side, you love him.
We're talking about how Michael Clark's been remembered. How will Ben Cray be remembered?
Oh.
No further questions.
Number five. The Ashes loss is a good sign to blank.
Really despise England.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've got the Ashes loss is a good sign to really shake up that Aussie 11.
Yeah, that's the obvious
something
one,
we didn't really go too far into in our review before.
Or as a cricket lover, just quickly, do we have much behind what we've got in front of us? Is there much talent underneath us? I mean, we've given Khawaja, we've given Joe Burns.
There was Quiney had to go, Cowan had to go.
Quiney, average of six or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Couldn't have been as bad as old mate, the spinner. His debut, Bryce McGain.
That's
right. He's
very fortunate, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I just wonder what tactic Australia will take for this fifth test. Will they stick with the same 11? Will they give some guys a farewell tour? Will they?
I had
completely. I mean, they've only got really who's at their disposal, who's with this touring party, and maybe if there was an injury crisis. Someone Aussie doing well in county cricket.
Or in Australian A. They just or finished playing South Africa.
They're in India.
South Africa.
Is that where they actually are? Yep. In South Africa? Yeah, right. So they're not that far away. But what angle do they take? What do they do for this fifth test? What does it mean to Australia?
Well, Clark's going to be there for sure.
Yeah, we know that.
Rogers
will be there because he's retiring too. Do they name Ryan Harris in the 11 just so he can say goodbye actually on the field? You know, he's not going to, obviously, but...
Siddle.
Does Siddle get a run?
Well,
does Haddon get a run?
No.
Does Watson get a run?
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Does Mitchell Marsh come back in? And if so, who for?
My head's hurting.
Yeah. Sorry, this is like a week's worth of...
Questions.
Just a week's worth of pain, just all flowing out into this microphone. Anyway, tweet us what you think is going to happen with the fifth test team at @former_legend, @latemailman, @FCTTB_podcast. Thursday night footy, back for round 23. I was going to call you Hoodie and rhyme it with footy, but...
It doesn't work.
No. Thursday night footy is back, said Hoodie. Round 23. It's a 5-day festival of fantasy footy. What was that word I called that again?
An obliteration.
It's alliteration. But well done. That's an encouragement award for you there. Sports Fantasy Pro's massive $15,000 guaranteed prize pool. That means that you could win part of $15,000. And if you're really that bloody amazing, you could maybe win the whole lot. I don't know. You'd have to tweet them at Sport Fantasy Pro. It's Australia's biggest ever prize for a single round of NRL. You can play free entry or pay to play over the whole round. Go on, throw. It's amazing. You throw just a couple of bucks into it, legend, and you stand to win. Like even more of that $15,000. So there you go.
I like it.
And for those commitment phobes, you can play over one day or just a single game. You can create your own private challenge. And actually, you know what? Stand by, because there's going to be details on that.
You call me a commitment phobe.
No, before. I said if you. No, if one you, is you, a commitment no. phobe.
Previously, in the last few weeks, you've called me a commitment phobe.
Yeah, I didn't make any secret of it. So why are you just picking it up now?
I've thought about it.
You just listened back to it three times and you were like, slow to process. Commitment phobe. He called me a commitment phobe. And then you started yelling at me and realised I'd left a week ago.
I've never left a mullet.
No, that's true. That's true.
That's commitment.
Now, we may have a private challenge starting this week, so keep an eye on our Twitter accounts at @former_legend.
Take me on.
Where you decide the games, the amount, and who plays. that'll be us. If you choose to join us, we will decide the game, the amount, and who plays. But that's okay. Go to sportsfantasypro.com now to win your share of the $15,000 cash. Sports Fantasy Pro.
Your team. Your game.
There you go. Good boy. Top five time. I've got my recycled chocolate wheel here. Not recycled chocolate. Mm. It's a chocolate wheel and it's been recycled. Mm. Made of wood. A few nails in there. Got it off the side of the road. We've got a bunch of top five topics up there. Top five NRL myths. We've got top five... I think we called it something else, but I'm going to call it media buffoons. We had
worst,
top five...
Worst haircuts.
Yes, top five.
Best sorts.
Yeah. Also top five NRL commentators.
Worst ever NRL jumpers.
Anyway, we're going to give it a spin this week, whatever it comes up. We're going to do that top five. Here we go. Can you read that?
Top five.
I had to write it left-handed.
Top five bounces.
Ooh. Top five Aussie sporting flops. It's got a slash and it says... Alternatively, the top five Australian sports identities that owe us all some sheep.
Sheep.
Mm. Sleep.
Oh.
Owe us all some sleep. That would be weird if an Australian sports identity owed us all some sheep.
However, full credit to the boys' New Zealand version. They're all over that.
Dan Carter owes me plenty of sheep. I don't really know what that means, but we will roll on. Okay, so top five Aussie sporting flops. I guess they're the times that everyone's sort of gathered around their TV sets at the same time and gone, fuck!
Usually late at night.
Thursday night, last week.
Yeah.
Anyway.
At least it wasn't late.
Yeah. It
was still only early.
Let's have a look. Number five. Who's going to go first? Me or you?
Me.
Go.
Okay. Easy one, straight up. Mark Webber.
Yes.
Now, as someone who's not a rev head, to be told, stay up tonight, big night. I think once I stayed up to watch him win a title... Nothing.
He won, as in what? As in he was going to win the whole championship if
he
won that day.
Yeah, he got to the last race or something and... Just
all I can remember is him winning in Monaco once. That's all I ever remember.
Yeah.
By some freak of nature,
how
I was
watching. How many
times
did you see him go first to fifth in the first corner?
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't start a car, could he?
Yeah.
So, number five, Mark Webber. Congratulations.
I got number four. Mm-hmm. This was the first one that comes to my head. New South Wales, Game 3, 2015 Origin.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, maybe not Australian sports
that's
flops.
A good
like,
one.
I mean,
that's
localised.
Yeah.
But please, was that not the biggest crash down to earth you've ever seen?
Oof. When you knew you were gone at halftime.
That was just, it was exceptional.
It hurt, yeah.
It's one of those pains that's.
Remember. I was watching,
go away for a while.
I was watching the cricket by halftime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how funny that one turned out. Anyway, number three.
Well, speaking of the cricket, any time Australia's gone to England to play the Ashes in the last... Well, since... When was the last time we won in England, do you know?
I think it was... I think Mark Waugh could have even still been playing. 2001, maybe?
Good man, yeah.
Well, because I know 2005 was like the start of this rot, and it's generally every 4 years
over
there.
The last time we beat the Soap Dodgers was a year after the Olympics in Sydney.
I was over there for the 05 series. I didn't actually make it to a single day's play for whatever reason. But I was sitting in a pub that day that Brett Lee and Michael Kasperowicz were
to save
the day.
Yeah.
And we lost by like five runs with a couple of...
Thought we were going to do a Mike Whitney and hang on for us.
And Jeff Thompson, I think that was, yeah. Or maybe just Mike Whitney.
Number two.
Number two. That's me. Okay. Oh, this is another one, which as soon as it's spun up, it comes straight to mind. Alex Chumpy-Pullen.
Oh,
Alex
yeah.
Chumpy-Pullen, 20.
Oh, that's gold.
14 Winter Olympics.
That's really good, yeah.
How much do you reckon was invested in his, you know, Winter Olympics quest? By us, the taxpayer, no less.
Or just by Swiss vitamins, weren't they? Another one that had the Swiss mock on him.
$500,000.
Really?
It was rumoured to be $1 million, but it was closer to $500,000 invested in his quest by us, the taxpayer. Didn't even make the quarterfinals. Didn't even make the quarterfinals. So.
Yeah.
He's a local boy in the Northern Beaches, but that just it upset me.
Okay, number one.
So, Chumpy, you can carve it. Number one. All right. Granny Cole's Diner Drive. Bat toss.
I tweeted that out. I tweeted a photo of the
you
Diner
throw,
Drive of decisions.
You throw.
Destiny.
What do we call it? Hills or valleys? Hills.
Ooh.
Well, valleys it is.
Valleys. This is easy.
Yeah.
Greg Norman.
Oh, no brainer.
Yeah. Easy, easy. I mean, I don't know how many times we got up at 4 o'clock to watch the Shark lose another one. And, I mean, the one entertaining thing about him was he found new ways to lose, which was good.
Didn't he? What?
When he was 19 shots in front of Nick Faldo with 3 holes to play, whatever the fuck he was, and found a way to lose it with 2 holes to play, he was, yeah. I mean, he got chipped in over the top of to lose. He lost a British Open, similar ways.
There was one I remember, and his son was having a tantrum. They kept cutting to him, and his son was just like hitting the floor. And his son must have only been, I don't know, 10 or 12 or something at the time. I want to say it was like a US tournament. I couldn't tell you which one. But he like three-putted on a couple of holes.
Right.
Like he bogeyed. Like he had an unbeatable lead and just really stuffed it in the
bag. We always used to have a theory about Norman. If he came out with a baseball cap on, no good. You wear that hat.
All right, the NRL Round 23 preview brought to you by sportsfantasypro.com. Now, there's $15,000 prize pull up for grabs this week, so get involved there, sportsfantasypro.com. It's free to play. You can pay to play and stand to win a little bit more of that $15,000.
$15,000 or 30 Holden Camaras. That's 30 Holden Camaras.
30 Holden Camaras. There you go. Just a quick run through. We are running out of time this week, but just a quick run through on some of the big performing players from last week. Cameron Munster from the Storm. He was the fullback of the week.
The best name since Jason Deeth.
Centre winger Semir Adradra, Daniel Tupou, Petr Hiku and Jared Beale. They were the best three quarters of the week. James Maloney at 5'8", Cooper Cronk at halfback, Corey Parker in the lock position. Second row, Josh Jackson and Mitchell Barnett. Mitch Rain at hooker, Aidan Tolman front row, Jake Travojevic for Manly. 2-try hero, first and last try scorer for Manly.
No Gareth Widdop.
No.
Surprising.
It mustn't have been judged on his goal-kicking style.
Mm.
And on the bench in the team of the week was Kane Evans, Shannon Boyd, Ben Cray and Trent Merrin. So there you go, sportsfantasypro.com.
Most metres gained backwards. Well done.
Friend of Full Credit to the Boys, Ben Cray. So let's quickly go through this week's preview thanks to sportsfantasypro.com. Thursday, Cowboys, Rabbitohs. Who have you got there?
Cowboys. I think Rabbitohs are in all sorts.
I think Cowboys are going to run up a big score.
Oof, you reckon?
Yeah.
Mm, interesting.
I
think they're in trouble, the Rabbits.
Friday, the Broncos and Dragons battle over the Wayne Bennett loves us more /92 /93 grand final title. Broncos Dragons, one's just hit form, one's sort of started to fall off a little bit.
I'm going to leave my faith in the home team and go the Broncos.
Yeah, likewise. Tigers Knights in the here. You have the wooden spoon. No, no. You have the wooden spoon. No, no, it's fine, mate. Honestly, you have the wooden spoon. No, mate, I couldn't do that to you.
I can't find a use
for it. Take the wooden spoon for you. Take the fucking wooden spoon off me now! Shield. Sorry.
Shield.
West Tigers versus Newcastle Knights.
Tigers.
Yeah, I think so too. Some of their form players are hitting form at the right time. Mm. at the right time to not get the wooden spoon.
You heard me, everyone. Your backhanded compliments.
Panthers versus the PSJ Warriors in the Ivan Cleary Cup. What do you reckon?
Could be nil all.
Could be.
Yeah.
Or they could just freak out and it could be 60 to 40.
I'm going to go the PSJ Warriors in an upset, if that's an upset.
Yeah, I don't know if it is or not, but I'm just going to go with the Panthers. Don't know why.
Okay.
Roosters versus Eels. Thoughts on that one?
The scoreboard attendant will get RSI by halftime.
Yeah.
I think Roosters will score plenty.
Yeah, I think they're due.
Mm. I mean, they scored plenty the last few weeks, but I don't think they'll let in as many.
Yeah, that's right. Raiders Seagulls on Sunday. If nothing else, the after-game press conference is guaranteed to be good with Ricky Stewart and Jeff Tuvey around.
Seagulls on a roll.
Yeah.
Hard to stop.
Yeah, I think so. Raiders.
And Raiders, are they gone
bit
now?
Vulnerable after
or they're gone now,
Monday night's loss.
Not a lot to play for.
No, that's right. And yeah, a bit damaged. No Shilling. Oh, no, that Shillington will be playing. I stand corrected. But
yeah, consistency.
But no Bradley Clyde this week. So
very disappointing.
It is. Bulldogs Titans, which is a bit of a goodwill mission by the Bulldogs. They said, we'll play this at ANZ.
That's a gossip.
The amount of... Oh, it is too. It is too. I just saw them the home team and I assumed. But still, still, there'll be plenty of empty seats. So it'll make the Titans feel right at home.
The Titans have gone well against the Bulldogs in history.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Dogs by a really small margin.
Yeah, I think the Bulldogs could get up by maybe about 8 or something like that. Maybe like an 18-10 or something less. Like that. All right.
Mm.
There you go. Write that down. Monday. The Sharks versus the Storm. Oh, I like this one. Sharknado 2. Oh, but hasn't there already been like a 2 and a 3? Maybe it's like Sharknado 7 already. They've just like franchised the shit out of it.
Okay.
Anyway, Sharknado, a nondescript number sequel.
Yeah.
Is happening at the Rubbish Tip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ramondas. I'm going to get
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to get Storm.
Oh, yeah?
Without any thought.
Yeah. I'm just going to go the Sharks because they...
They won 5 on the trot, haven't they?
Something like that, yeah.
Due for a loss.
Are they due? Twitter challenge time. Now, we came to a bit of a sad conclusion to last week's to the Twitter challenge last week. Sally Fitzgibbon, dead to us. Shane Warne, dead to us.
I had a moral victory, but two favourites.
Yeah, true. But to be honest, again, with the whole Adam Goods thing, I couldn't have cared less if I never heard from Shane Warne.
No. So
there you go.
Goose.
So we've had a fair few suggestions this week.
Do you want to run through them?
Yeah.
I think everyone deserves a mention.
Ben Pugsley suggested Alistair Cook. Again, don't want to talk to him, but he's not on Twitter anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No. Okay.
GLD299 said Nick Kyrgios, who's on Twitter.
Interesting.
Kevin Rudd.
Nah.
Jenna Jamison.
Nah, we're over Warney. We're over Warney.
Yeah. Jenna Jamison's not on Twitter anyway, so there you go. Aussie Jag said Joel Reddy and Phil Gould, which I thought was cool.
It's going to be tough for me to get Phil Gould.
As if Joel Reddy is not going to... You know, we could get you to do Joel Reddy and me do Phil Gould. Mm. There's an idea. You're blocked from him, mate.
Let's aim higher. Aim higher.
Redmond Blair said James Courtney and Aaron Mullen.
Aim higher. I've got Aaron already.
Yeah. At Horto24 said Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe.
I like both of those.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Sort of similar echelon as well, you know, like Hollywood star linked to Australia and to rugby league.
Yeah.
Possible. At KM Robbo said Jen Hawkins, who's not on Twitter.
Isn't she?
No.
That's a shame.
I couldn't find her anyway. I
actually like that, yeah.
Salt Horse said Peter Sagan.
Be good if we knew who Peter Sagan
was. I had to look up who Peter Sagan is. Apparently he's a cyclist.
Is he?
There you go. Thanks, Salt Horse, though. DPS Socket said Meg Lanning and Carmichael Hunt.
Don't mind that.
Ben Pugsley said Z Dana, which is a star trotter owned by Brett Stewart. Surely not on Twitter.
Carmichael Hunt, you reckon he'd be pretty easy to get, wouldn't you? Or would he be gun shy?
At the moment, you'd hope he'd be gun shy. So to that end, who are you suggesting? Have you got one?
Yeah, I have. I'm going to use one of these ones suggested.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay. Oh.
And since I let you go first last time and take Sally Fitz, which is actually who I was going to...
Right.
Sorry, Shane Warne, who I was going to give to you.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you Nick Kyrgios.
Damn, that's who I was going to give you.
Really? Oh, well then dig deep, champion.
Okay, well I'm going to give you Hugh Jackman.
Okay. I like it. I looked through a few of these people just to see how interactive they are.
So, well done, Horto24.
Can I give you a hint? Nick Kyrgios loves praise.
Can I just check to see if I've been blocked by him before?
Yeah, probably. Probably a good suggestion. All right. Keep an eye on our new Twitter challenge.
Tentatively, that's where we're at.
All right, got to get through this. Weekly Full Credit to the Boys Awards, something that's made our attention stand up on end on Twitter. Amateur and celebrity, one of each. Who have you gone for this week?
At 2FBS, who's very humorous. You should follow him. He's very good. And he wrote, just before Australia went out to bowl after we got rolled for 60, if Boof is smart, he'll make Mitch Johnson spend the whole innings break on the phone to his mum.
Fire him up.
Fire him right up. What about you?
Amateur this week is from Knocked Up Misses. Yep, that's his Twitter handle.
Yeah,
at Knocked Up Misses.
That's some good stuff.
Says, Fergo leading out the Roosters. Does this mean his redemption is complete at late, my old man? Insert fart noise, which is a nod back to last week where we discussed this. Yeah, I was pretty pissed off to see Ferguson leading out the Roosters on the weekend before I realised that it was indeed Indigenous round. And I'm assuming that that was... Was there some sort of meaning there? Mitchell Pearce wasn't playing, so there you go. But Jake Friend was right behind him and his co-captain, so could have been leading him out. So I've got to assume that it's because of Indigenous round, but whatever.
I think we've spent too much time talking about that already.
Don't make him a figurehead of your club. So there you go. I like that Knocked Up Misses. Well done. Celebrity, you.
At Jared Hain _1.
Was it a God retweet?
No.
No? Okay.
Now, I've been lukewarm on this whole NFL thing.
Yeah.
Until the other day when he tweeted some video footage from 49ers practice.
Okay.
Where, did you see it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Sensational. Yeah. And for some reason, I just went, oh, shit.
He's got a chance.
Yeah. And so his tweet was, first live practice was fun. We'll be sore tomorrow. This was two plays after I got smashed. And it's video footage of him allegedly scoring a touchdown in practice.
Yeah, nice.
And he beat a few to do it too.
I saw that too, but I was a bit disappointed. It wasn't like one of those Friday Night Lights style, like 70-meter runs. And all that. So it was like a few meters. But yeah, good work.
Have a look at that video and look at the way he's carrying the ball. Wow.
Yeah.
He's gone off his instincts there and he's actually learnt. Good on him. And I honestly hope he does well and makes it.
My celebrity this week, at Titus O'Reilly, classic.
Yes.
He's got like 30-something thousand followers.
Yeah,
like
he punches out gold.
Whoever he is, he's clever. This is from way back on Thursday night. I got it at the time and I said that's going to be my celebrity tweet next week. We could have picked any four random... This is when Australia was four down. We could have picked any four random Australian citizens and we would have a similar score right now. Would have been cheaper too. #ashes. This is before we knew the carnage it was going to unfold. We were four down for not many. Boys sack, mail and feedback this week. Now, Clive's written no full credit to the boys. There was.
Was there?
There was. They were paraphrased ones, but they were nonetheless. First, there was Paul Gallen.
I just credited the boys in the change rooms. You know, they've been renowned for coming back to Cowboys all year.
There you go. Credit to the boys back in the sheds.
That'll do.
Happy days. That was in the press conference post-Sharks Cowboys. And then like 30 seconds later, as if Thurston was like, well, I've got to get me some of that. He dropped this one too.
Just need to be better there, but, you know, full credit to the Sharkies. They were the better team on the night.
There you go. Full credit to the Sharkies.
It's a couple of blokes you can count on. Better team on the
day. Went 110%. Full 80 minutes.
It's a couple of blokes you can count on. And
JT's one of them. JT's one of them. Watmo's one of them. And Warrior Hargreaves is one of them.
So, I got told by someone today, and I'm trying to find his tweet, but I can't find it. Benny someone on Twitter who told me that Cameron Munster dropped one on ABC Grandstand too, and he said it was as clear as a bell.
Wow.
So
he is new to the sports, or, you know, to the top of flight, so I'll give him a discount pass for that one.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyone's that you hear over the week, let us know at Late Mailman, at Former _ Legend, at FCTTB _podcast.
Finally.
Yes.
5-star review. Quite interesting.
Yes.
Do you want me to read it?
Go for it.
From Junkie Punter.
Yes.
Long-time listener, first-time reviewer. Full credit to the boys. They have done a fantastic podcast from day one, as always put in 110%. P.S. I think I know who the cadet journo is. Heard a similar tale about a late 80s, early 90s rugby league legend.
Wow. Was that in reference to? Oh, I've got no idea. Oh, right.
We'll leave it at that.
Okay, cool. There you go. This week's episode of Full Credit to the Boys brought to you by Sports Fantasy Pros 5-day festival fantasy footy alliteration fest with a $15,000 guaranteed prize pool. Head to
far out.
Head to sportsfantasypro.com to play. Get involved. See you next week.
Farewell.